Hey everyone, today we hear from Philippians chapter 4, a pretty familiar chapter for a lot of people. If you've been in church for a while, I'm sure you've heard some of these. Even if you haven't been in a while, some of the verses that we're going to hear are pretty common, pretty familiar, and that's something I want to talk about after we're done reading. But let's hear this first from Paul in Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 4. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You are indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. And in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." So a section of verses here that is filled with verses that we've heard before that we may remember, we've heard in songs and things of that nature. And quite frankly, one of the problems with this is that these become cliche. These become theological shorthand. They become bumper sticker theology. When we hear these verses and they become sort of like a mantra, something that we say over and over to ourselves, you know, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. While on the surface, that's great and that's wonderful to be able to have that at your ready to hear and to remind yourself and all of those things, but it becomes too quickly cliche. And it doesn't really have any import or meaning, and it doesn't have any impact. And, you know, we then use it and throw it out there when people are in need of a good word or something, or perhaps just your presence, and we feel like we need to say something. So, well, you can do all things through God who gives you strength. You know, these things become cliche, and they lose impact, and they throw everything into a vacuous bunch of words that doesn't mean a thing. And in this particular day and time that we're in right now, as we're approaching the election, as we've gone through this last year that we've gone through, and we still have a couple more months to go, we are no strangers to cliche and no strangers to bumper stickers and no strangers to any of that stuff. This is a world right now, and again, in this particular time where we find ourselves, that is just filled with empty words that are thrown around and used as weapons and clubbed over the heads of people that is just a waste of a voice, a waste of energy, a waste of time. And we see it, we hear it, it just kind of goes in and out, and it's terrible this time. And, you know, we hear these words from Paul, and we want them to be precious to us. We want them to have meaning. But in a world where words are thrown around as if you can make them mean whatever you want, and words that are used by people in situations that they don't even fit, it's just terrible. And we end up with destruction everywhere caused by words. It's the cliches, it's the empty phrases. And so when we hear Paul again, we want to listen. We listen with ears of the Holy Spirit. We listen so that we can hear these words. Because out there are so many words that don't have impact or meaning, but they're used terribly. And so we want these words to have meaning. We want these words to... And it's not that these words don't have meaning simply because I don't give them meaning. They're God's word. So they have meaning in and of themselves. It's not up to me to give them meaning. But we want them to not just bounce off of us, to glance off of the pain and the struggle around us and just, you know, fall into the same pit that all of the other words that people are using fall into. So when we hear Paul say, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise." Those are the eight things he lists out. These are the things we're supposed to keep our minds on. These things that are true, these things that are honorable, these things that are just, these things that are pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and praiseworthy. I think we can hear those words and use them as a litmus test. First of all, on one hand, we can use them as a litmus test to see about, are the things that we are taking in, are the things that we're hearing and seeing and maybe feeding into or being tricked by or being suckered into or being, you know, bandied about, are these things true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, or worthy of praise? Take a minute, check. As you're scrolling through your Facebook feed and you see these images come out that, you know, is about this candidate or that candidate. You see these insults about this group or that group. And you either like it or you scroll past it or you watch it for a little bit. Are those things true? Are they honorable? Are they just? Are they pure? Are they lovely, commendable, excellent, or worthy of praise? Then after you're done scrolling through your social media feeds and you're getting all of this stuff that I am sure, looking at mine, doesn't measure up to this standard, then listen to the words that come out of your own mouth. Is what I'm saying true? Or am I perpetuating false stuff? Is what I'm saying true? Or am I breaking the eighth commandment and trying to wreck somebody's reputation? Is what I'm saying honorable? Do the words that come out of my mouth bring honor to somebody or something or to myself? Are they just or are they partial? Are they just or are they racist? Are they destructive? Are they just or are they prejudiced? Are the words that I'm reading and then words that I'm saying, do they measure up? Are they pure? Oh my gosh. Am I having pure thoughts or impure thoughts? This is a challenge, guys. This is a challenge. Is it lovely what I'm looking at or what I'm saying? Is it commendable? Is it excellent? Is it worthy of praise? Is any of this stuff that I have been immersed in for so long, is any of it measuring up to this? Or am I lost? Am I at a lost cause for this? I think when we see this and we realize the things that we've been reading and perpetuating and hearing and, you know, yeah, you can't block everything out. You can't go and live in a cave. Well, I suppose you could, but you'd probably want to take your cell phone anyway, so you wouldn't be able to stay away from it. You can't avoid it by trying to pretend it doesn't exist. You can't avoid this stuff. But what you can do is And this is a practical. This is only empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is only something we can do if we are trying, and we're going to fail at times doing it. But we have to try to be more discerning. We have to try to be more truthful, to be more honorable. These are things that we have to try and do. Not that it's somehow earning anything. We want to make that clear that you know, bumper sticker theology does not get you salvation. But we want to practice these things. We want to try. So then, when we realize time and time again that we fall short, that we crash and burn, do we just give up and say, well, that's all right, I'll just blend in, I'll just do what everybody else is doing? Or do we get back up, try again? God picks us up, shakes us off, throws us back into the mix. We go to God in confession and say, I can't do this. Truth, honor, justice, loveliness, commendability, excellence, praiseworthiness, I can't do that. And there's only one who can. And yes, it's the Sunday school answer. It's Jesus. Who is the only one who is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life? Even Pontius Pilate asked, what is truth? He couldn't know. He didn't know. Man's search for truth has, extended for centuries, since the beginning. And yet Jesus is the one. He's the truth. Who is the only one that's worthy of honor, praise? Who is the only one who is pure and lovely? This is Jesus. And so as Paul is reminding his hearers in the Philippian church, we hear it today and say, yeah, Paul, that's right. Because any of the stuff in the world around us doesn't measure up to this. But Jesus does. His word does. God does. This is where we need to keep our heads. And we can make it as works-based as we think we can. We need to make our checklist and we need to do these things. Or we can look to Jesus and say, you got to open my eyes. I can't do it. You got to keep me focused. Because I too often go off the deep end. You got to help me to shut it off. Turn away from it. Pick something else. And Paul says, as you do that, as you're practicing these things, he says, practice these things, the God of peace will be with you. See, there's a wonderful promise. It doesn't say it's going to be easy. And anytime Paul says you got to practice something, does not mean it's easy at all. But we got to practice. Just as anything else that we do, we have to practice. We have to practice being aware of the truth and speaking the truth, hearing the truth, doing the truth. We have to practice honor. We have to practice justice, purity, loveliness. We have to practice these things. And yeah, the world's going to fight against it tooth and nail. It's going to pour all sorts of garbage out there. But through Christ, we can, I don't want to say rise above, because that sounds so high and mighty or self-righteous. It's not about rising above. It's about keeping our eyes fixed where they need to be. And not getting distracted by the bumper stickers, by the cliches, the t-shirts, coffee mugs, yard signs, whatever. So practice these things, people of God. Practice them. Focus. And Paul promises the God of peace will be with you as you practice these things. So this is a take home. This is a, you got to do it. This is a, this time of year, this time of our season of life, it's going to be a battle. Stick with it. Practice. Stay focused. And the God of peace will be with you. Amen.